certainly desire and interest in your prayers. Thankful to be here for the meeting so far, to be back in Guthrie. I have a burden the Lord has placed on my heart. I feel like He'd have me to share with you this afternoon about being citizens of a heavenly country. And again, desire and interest in your prayers that the Lord would bless the thoughts that are brought out. We sang the song, Wonderful Words of Life, and I'm thankful that they are that. By the breath of the Holy Spirit, and that's our desire that He would anoint what is said. I'd like to begin with a familiar passage in the 14th chapter of John. John, the 14th chapter, Jesus, before the time that all things were fulfilled and He was taken, addressing His disciples, those that had walked with Him, those that had followed Him, that had been with Him, you might say, every step of the way through His ministry, had seen the ups and the downs, had seen the things that He had gone through and the miracles that He had performed. That really had become their life because they left all and they followed Jesus. Jesus here was telling them, preparing them, I believe, by saying in the first verse, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." So we heard this morning about a lively hope. Saints, this is part of our lively hope. This is part of the hope that the Lord has given to every one of us that are His children. I'd like to look at a scripture in Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians 1. Beginning with the 11th verse, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory." This is talking about an inheritance that we've been given. An inheritance that every one of us that have been adopted and made children of the King, we've been made heirs of this kingdom. It's a promise that's been given to every one of us. It is our hope. It is our lively hope that was given to us through the blood of Christ. Through that, we have a hope, and we know, regardless of all that happens around us, let not your heart be troubled. Let not, sometimes I believe in this world, it's easy for us to begin to get weighed down and troubled by the things that are going on around us. Jesus, I believe, understood that, knew the things that we would have to face, the things that the disciples would have to face. And He said, in My words, through it all, keep in mind the promise that I've given you. Through it all, whenever I go back and you go through your own persecutions and your troubles, and it seems like you're alone, keep your eyes on something. Keep your eyes on a promise that I've given you, that even though I've gone from you, there's a promise that you have. There's an inheritance that belongs to every one of us. Now this inheritance is something that's precious. It's something that should mean more to us than anything else in this life. I think of a song that I believe the Salise have sometimes sung, that I'm not going to miss heaven for the world. Not going to miss heaven for anything that this world has below. Nothing that might stand in the way or try to intervene or get in the way. It's not worth it for me to lose my inheritance. There's something that I can lay claim unto that is mine. It says that you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. So there is an inheritance for every one of us. But I want us to notice it says that Holy Spirit of promise. It is an earnest of that inheritance. There's an inheritance that every one of us are looking for in the future. For that time, the longing that we have in our hearts that I at some point can go to be with the Lord. But I want us to realize we don't have to wait for that day. We don't have to wait for that day to come to enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Because every one of us are heirs to this inheritance that He's given. By the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. An earnest is a down payment. It's money that's made until the redemption of the full, until the full price is paid or the full sum is given to us. Oh, I thank the Lord for salvation. I thank the Lord that we can sit together in heavenly places, that we can enjoy the blessings of salvation. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. But do you know the best of what we enjoy in this life? The best, the times whenever the Lord will come down and meet us in our private places of prayer and flood us with His glory, you know, that's not even worthy to be compared. That's just a down payment. I want us to realize today that the best of this salvation, and oh, I'm thankful that we have a piece of it today that we can enjoy. We have a piece that's in earnest for us, the Holy Spirit of promise. And it should be that within us, that Spirit bears witness with our spirit, that we are the children of God. He's placed within us a piece of Himself. He's put within us a piece of heaven right in this life that we can enjoy, that we can taste of. The song in our book, number 194, it says, oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. It's something that we can taste of, but it's not even the full measure. It's just a little bit of taste. You know, whenever we get a taste of heaven, it ought to cause us to long for the full thing. I want the full measure. I want to be able to enjoy the whole thing the Lord has. I've heard already in this meeting, I believe it might have been in Sunday school, Romans 14 and 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost that is the earnest of our inheritance. Jesus said as He was going away, it's necessary, it's expedient that I go away. Whenever I go, though, I'm going to give a comforter to you. I'm going to give you that Holy Spirit of promise, that though I go away, there's something whereby you'll be sealed. You have a piece of me that's with you. You have a piece of heaven on this side. Oh, remember David. He said whenever he went up and he saw Goliath and his brothers were questioning his motive for coming, he said, is there not a cause? You know, I would, whenever we look at this inheritance that we have, that we would say the same. In the troubles and trials of life, is there not a cause? Is there not the song the young people sometimes have sung, we've got a cause worth fighting for. Devil, we're not going to take anymore. Saints, every one of us have a cause that's worth fighting for. We have a cause that's worth staking our life on the line. Because I've got a taste of something and I'm looking forward to something that's yet to come. Whenever I think about what Jesus said here, He's gone to prepare a place for us. And I look around at the world that we live in today. You know, really, if you took sin out of the picture, you have the Garden of Eden. Beautiful. The creation and nature that God has provided for us, it could have been a landscape like the moon. Barren and desolate, nothing to enjoy. But you look at the beauty, the intricacy and the detail in some of the smallest of God's creation. And you realize God prepared that for us. He prepared it knowing that this whole world is going to be wiped away. Whenever I think of that, I think, Lord, what must my eternal home be like? If You put and invested this much in a temporal home that's going to pass away, Lord, I sure don't want to miss heaven. I sure don't want to miss what He said, I go to prepare a place for you. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. First Corinthians 2. The ninth verse says, But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The little tastes that we're able to get here on earth, eye hath not seen, man has not been able to comprehend the depths of what God has, the depths of what He's prepared for those that love Him. But oh, I want to be able to experience and take in as much as I can. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter and the 19th verse, says, if in this life only we have hope, we're of all men most miserable. I hear people back home, Ohio lottery has been around for years, entrenched and in that state, and I hear folks talking about the lottery, and I see the tickets that they bring in every day. There's a hope that they're placing there. And I hear them talk about, whenever I win the lottery, this is what I'm going to do, and that's what I'm going to do. Placing their hope on that. If only, and looking forward to that time, wishing and longing that if I could just win the lottery. You know, if you spend your life putting your hope in this life, putting your hope in things aligning themselves the way that I think will be best and comfortable, we're going to find ourselves of all men most miserable. But I'm thankful that we have something that looks beyond this life. Something that looks beyond the disappointments and the sorrows. That looks beyond, and I can lay hold upon that hope eternal. That hope is something that's not seen, but it's eternal. I'd like to look at the 11th chapter of Hebrews for a moment. Hebrews 11 and 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. They had a promise that they looked forward into the future by faith and received. And it was accounted unto Abraham for righteousness, the faith that he had. We too, although we're in the gospel dispensation today, we have a promise that we've been given of life eternal. And it's a promise that sometimes seems afar off. In this life, whenever we have the things of life that we have to tend to, the song says, ever keep heaven in view. And I would charge us each one with that. Sometimes I believe we have to refocus a little bit our eyes and our eyesight to be able to keep our eyes focused on heaven. You know, I remember as a young child, whenever I discovered or learned or dawned on me that there are still stars out in the sky even when it's daytime. Because I looked out and you don't see them whenever it's daylight, because there's a light that far surpasses the light of the stars. Same principle, if you take a cell phone or a little screen outside and the sun glares down directly on it, you can't hardly see it. You know, the song we sing says, let the pleasures of earth fade away. As we begin to get our sight and our focus on heaven, the things of this life will begin to fade away. They'll begin to blur into peripheral vision, and that's where the Lord wants us to keep our focus and our sight. Every one of us, that we not become discouraged, that we have a lively hope to look unto, a living hope, one that should ever be before us. We've got a cause we're fighting for. That kingdom, as I mentioned, is not a kingdom that we look to come, but it's a kingdom that we have now within us. The kingdom that we can enjoy. Jesus said, fear not, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's His good pleasure to give you the keys of the kingdom, to let you enjoy the kingdom and the benefits of it. Oh, that kingdom, if you look in Daniel 2 and 44, it says that He would come and establish a kingdom that would be set up, that would be eternal. It wouldn't be left to another. It's not something that death can destroy. This kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. This kingdom, it was established and set up, and we are able to enjoy it in this life, but it doesn't end at the grave. Because there's one that came to take the sting of death away, and it just transitions from death into something that is the redemption of the purchased possession. Now it's the full measure of what I tasted of in this life. I'm thankful that this kingdom continues on. I'd like to look at the 12th chapter of Hebrews. Bear with us for a little bit longer. Hebrews 12, the 22nd verse, it says, ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Revelation, the third chapter, it talks about a new Jerusalem which cometh down out of heaven. You can read there in Revelation, it seems like the parallels between where it talks about New Jerusalem and the throne of God and the New Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven, it just seems like they're intertwined. That's because the kingdom begins in this life, and we're a part of it. It's New Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven. As we heard last night, we're born into this kingdom by the Spirit. It's not a flesh and blood. It's not a natural kingdom, but it's something that we're born into here. Scripture says in Ephesians, the third chapter, the 15th verse, I'd like to pick this up. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Remember the vision that John had there in Revelation? That he looked and he asked, what are these? He said, don't you know what these are? These are they that have been through great tribulation. And they've washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. They've already gone before. They're already tasting of it. And it says here that this is part of the whole family in heaven and in earth. Those that have already gone before and those that are still here. You see how our citizenship is in heaven? Our conversation, the Scripture says, is in heaven. It's not with this world. It's not of the things of this world. Yes, we're in this world, but we're not of it. Our conversation isn't there. That's not, we're just passing through, one song says. But my treasures are laid up on that other shore, on that other side. That's where my conversation is. Set yourselves treasures in heaven, where thieves and rust and moth and all those things don't corrupt and take it away. We have a valuable treasure, an inheritance that's been given to every one of us. I'm thankful for that citizenship we have in heaven. You know, it's something that man can't take away. Whenever I remember back on 9/11, I remember seeing or hearing about on the steps of the Capitol politicians that joined hand to hand singing songs. Can you imagine seeing that today? Joined hand in hand together, there's something that on 9/11 united them. There's something that America's been called the melting pot. People of all races and creeds and backgrounds and nationalities can come together and live together and work together, be neighbors side by side with one another of so many different backgrounds, but yet there's a common thread that runs through them all. You know, it's the same with the kingdom of God, of all different nationalities and backgrounds and races, but yet there is one common thread that runs through it all. There's one thing that binds us all together, and that's the blood of Jesus. That's the blood that gave us this citizenship, that made us adopted heirs of this kingdom, and we're heirs together with Christ Jesus. Heirs together, and we have a citizenship, a fellowship one with another that man cannot destroy, cannot take away, only by me allowing that citizenship to be cut off. That thing that united folks together on 9/11, this country is attacked. That was the common thread that ran through us all. Whenever folks come from other countries and immigrants come in, before they're made citizens and given citizenship, they have to say the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to this flag. This is where I put my allegiance. I'm part of this now. This represents, this flag flies over me. And it binds us together as a country. And so, whenever that freedom was under attack on that day, all the differences were able to be laid aside and they joined together. Because there's a common thread that binds us all together. A citizenship. Oh, thank the Lord we have a citizenship. We have citizenship papers in heaven by the blood of Jesus. Something that gives us rights and access to this kingdom. Whenever we pass to the other side, to be able to show that. Not as thieves and robbers to find other ways, but I have the stamp of Jesus' blood on it that gives me citizenship. That's where our fellowship is. That's where our fellowship with one another and with the whole family in heaven and earth is brought. I'd like to look at what Paul's mindset was of heaven. In Philippians, the first chapter, Philippians 1, the 20th verse, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. It says, I'm in a strait betwixt the two. I'm thankful for what I have. I enjoy my salvation. I enjoy the fellowship that I have with you. And I know it's needful. As long as I can be used of the Lord. Paul was in a place here to be able to say, Lord, your will be done. But there was something within Paul that longed to go home. There was something because he had a piece of heaven implanted within him. There was a citizenship and a fellowship that he had with heaven. That's where his conversation was. And it caused that piece of him to long to go home. I'd like to look at 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. 2 Corinthians 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. I'd like to move down to the 6th verse. Therefore, we are also confident, always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Whenever I have heaven in sight, whenever I have my crosshairs, if you will, on heaven, that's what I'm striving for, that's what I'm laboring for, wherefore I labor. That's the purpose. It gives me purpose to what I'm doing. It gives me purpose to be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap, if you faint not. And so I want to encourage us here this afternoon, let's not faint. Let's not grow weary. There's still purpose to be encouraged. Remember whenever Jesus was foretelling the signs of the last times, and He said that men's hearts would be failing them for fear. Nevertheless, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then what was our challenge? Lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. Saints, our redemption's drawing nigh. We don't know when it'll be, but there should be a peace within us whenever we see the things that are coming to pass in this world that says, even so come, Lord Jesus. Lord, I want to be able to cash in my down payment. Lord, I want to be able to hand you the earnest that I've been treasuring in this life and be able to exchange it for the full measure that the Lord's given of this inheritance. Wherefore we labor. 1 Corinthians 15, I believe 58, it says, be therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Wherefore do we labor, that we might be accepted of Him, that I might be able to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh, that should be something that every one of us long to hear. Whenever I see that, it should be able to bring perspective to the things that I face in life, to the real purpose for what I'm doing here in this life. Oh, there's a cloud of witnesses that have gone on before, that are waiting, standing on the other side, where our conversation and our fellowship is, that are a testimony of the grace of God, that they were able to make it. And so are we also. And so I want to encourage us, let's lift up our heads. Let's look unto heaven and keep heaven in view before us. whenever maybe we're tempted to become discouraged by things that are happening around us, let's lift up our heads, for our redemption draws nigh. You pray for me.